It's a lot that went on there, isn't there? You know, I think sometimes we get that way. It's a series of unfortunate events. But do you remember even in that funny video, just how it all started? Choosing to seek the approval of others. I wonder how different it would be if we chose to seek the approval of God over men sometimes. And if you're following along with us, we have been going through a series in the book of Philemon, and it kind of has that feel of it. There's just a series of events that have led to this. Remember, there was a man named Philemon, had a house church, and like most of the upper-class citizens of the day, he had a slave. And then there was a series of events that led to his slave leaving him, and we'll find out later, possibly wronging him in some way. Then there's this series of events that leads us to where we are, that leads Paul to write this letter. It is the most personal of all of Paul's letters. He starts with his affirmation of Philemon and his kingdom work. He states his accommodation for Philemon in the form of an appeal. He says, I could tell you what to do, but I'd rather walk with you through it. I want to accommodate you along the way, brother Philemon. He continues to drive the conversation back to one specific thing. It is their mutual service and love for God over their personal preferences. So let's continue with our letter this morning. We're going to read from the book of Philemon. Again, you can't say what chapter because it's only one chapter. So we're going to read verses 12 through 16 this morning. If you are able and willing, would you stand one more time for the reading of God's word? Philemon chapter what? Only. One and only. Good. Starting in verse 12. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but out of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. Father, I pray that as we continue through this letter to Philemon by Paul, Father, that we might truly understand the heart of Paul's message. Father, I pray that as we dive into your divine word, that we would get help from the Holy Spirit, as we desperately need the help of interpreting and internalizing your word. Father, we give you this time. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we start in chapter only, as we start in verse 12, I should say, I want to talk to you about something that is very critical because I like to call this Paul's approach. I have not done a whole lot of flying. I have done some flying, but this is how flying usually goes for me. I get stuck in a seat where there is someone next to me that has a problem staying in their personal space. For whatever reason, I'll let you fill in the blank. My legs are long. I don't fit well in the seats. I haven't done a whole lot of flying. Maybe you've done more flying than me, but if you've done any amount of flying, you'll hear this sometimes. The pilot comes on.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for flying whatever airline we're on.
At this time, we'll be reaching our cruising altitude. We'll have a short 2.5-hour flight. We'll see you on the ground. whatever it might be, something to that effect. And the takeoff is smooth. You climb, it's smooth. You descend, it's smooth. And it's like being in a luxury car. Those pilots can put the wheels on the ground gently. And everything, everybody's happy. You've been on a flight like that. And then there's that other flight that you remember.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be climbing an extra 5,000 feet to avoid some turbulence.
And you would not be shocked to find your head in the roof of the plane because you are going through turbulence. And as you fly, maybe you come to the airport and you are coming into your landing destination and there is a storm.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to circle the airport for about 20 minutes and let this storm go by.
But soon, you start the descent.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your seat in the upright position and your tray in its locked.
You get it. And as you start the approach to the landing, you are hanging on to everything that you possibly can. The wings, if you have a window seat, you can look out and the wings are doing like this. And it is rough. And you wouldn't be surprised if you fell out of the plane. I'm not trying to scare you away from flying. But this is so important. Because I want to take a look at Paul's approach in verse 12. Let's read it again. I have sent him back to you in person. That is sending my very heart. Did you catch it? Paul's approach to his brother Philemon. He says this. He says, I want a smooth landing, brother Philemon. So I'm going to tell you what I've done, not what I want. I'm going to get to that, but I'm going to tell you what I've already done. Isn't that so disarming in a conversation? Especially when it's something that should have taken place already. Say, well, I've already done this. I've already taken this step and this step and this step, and now I'm talking to you. Isn't that so disarming? Because there's a potential here for confrontation. Because look at verse 13. Now we get finally to the ask. He says, whom I wished to keep with me. I wish to keep him with me. I desire to keep him with me so that he might minister to me. See it? Whom I wished to keep with me so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. That's what Paul really wants. I really desire this, Philemon. But remember, what have I already done? Verse 12, I have sent him back to you in person. That is sending my very heart. I sent him back to you because that's what I'm supposed to do. I didn't keep him here and then ask, well, since he's already here, can I just do this? Can I just keep him for a little while longer because he hasn't left yet? You see how all these things play out into our approach because of how we handle a situation? It matters. You can have a smooth descent and a landing, or you can be beat by turbulence on the way down. And all the wheels may not touch at the same time. Oh yeah, you're going to land. But it might hurt a little. He says, I wish to keep him with me. In verse 14, let's continue. Verse 14, but without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. You see, people always have this mantra of, I don't like change. People will say, well, I just don't like change. Or you can say it more easily about somebody else. So-and-so, they don't like change at all. And I don't buy that. I will say this. There are people change two times in their life. You say, Brother Adam, that sounds silly. Because surely there's more than twice. And I say, no, people change two times in their life. They change when they have to, and they change when they want to. Let's see if we can distinguish what's going on. If I don't stop smoking, my lungs are going to turn black and I'll have problems. If I don't stop overeating, I'll have a lifestyle-related illness that could cause death. That's having to change. The doctor says, if you don't stop doing this, you're going to kill yourself. So you say, okay, I guess I have to change. Same two things, but different desire. You can say, I want to stop smoking so that I'll be around to see my grandchildren. I want to change my lifestyle habits so that I don't orphan my own children. See the difference? You change two times in your life, either when you have to or when you want to. So what's Paul's approach here to Brother Philemon? Is Paul saying, because remember from last week, Paul has the authority to tell him what to do, but the tact not to. Paul's approach is critical because this is leadership 101 in its most basic form. Every leader should have to do this at least once. To know what to say to somebody and to know how to get them to point. You're at point A and you know how to get them to point B. I could tell you what to do, but I'd rather not tell you. I don't want you to be under any kind of compulsion, but rather out of your own free will, I want you to walk with me. See how fantastic that is? He's not saying, I'm going to make you change. He's saying, I'm going to make you want to change. To understand the next part of this letter, I want to turn to the book of Romans. Just a couple of books, a few books back. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. This will help us get to the heart of Paul's message here, to the heart of his ask. I want to read, starting in Romans 15, I want to start in verse 1. It says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be one of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. So that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. I want to pay special attention to verse 7 and to the word accept. A-C-C-E-P-T. Accept. The world would give us several definitions of that word. Let's go through just a few. Accept. To accept someone, the world might say this, accept me without any judgment. You ever heard that? You're just supposed to accept me like I am. No matter what I say, no matter what I've done, no matter what I'm doing, just accept me for what I am. And there are people in the world also, and even in the church, that would look at you and say, well, that's just biblical. And I'd say, let's review. Because even it is true, let's just say this, it is true that God accepts us as we are. However, there is a boundary here. If someone chooses not to accept the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross that would satisfy the wrath of sin against them, they will not be accepted. And so you cannot say God just accepts everybody. He sees everybody as they are, but he does not accept them into his kingdom unless they have chosen to follow Christ. See the difference? We choose to follow him. We choose to have a new light. We choose to begin walking in a new way. Here's another one. Accept. I accept or receive this gift from you. No strings, no expectations. It's just a gift. All you have to do is take it. Accept this gift from me. Spontaneous gift giving is one of the greatest things that you can ever do for somebody. I give this to you as a gift. Nothing attached to it. I have no expectation. I have no cause to think that you're going to reciprocate or give something back to me. I'm just going to give you a gift. Would you accept it? How about this? Accept. And I think this is where we should land here in our text. Paul is saying, I hope by me separating myself physically from Onesimus that you can accept him. This is the physical accepting of him. He uses even the word separate in verse 15. For perhaps it was for this reason he was separated from you. Because he says, I wish to have him to myself. But I've already sent him back to you physically. Because we can't just split Onesimus in half. A dead Onesimus is no Onesimus. So I can't just split him. So I've separated myself from him so that you might accept him. And then we get to the heart of Romans 15 with verse 16 of Philemon. Remember, let's pick up with verse 15. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. No longer a slave. I'm no longer counting him as a piece of your property, Philemon. Paul says in Romans 15 to the church, I urge you to accept one another. And this is a cry and an exhortation for churches to follow Christ. Accept him, accept people because they follow Christ. Accept people because they choose God's value system. Accept people because they choose God's authority. And accept people because they choose God's preferences. I urge you, he says, to accept one another. And Paul is saying to Philemon, I urge you to accept him based on all of those things. Why? Because he's no longer a slave. To accept someone here, as Paul says in Romans, I know we're going back and forth, to accept someone in Romans 15 is to receive or to grant one access to another person's heart. That's accepting. I'm choosing to grant someone access to my heart. I'm giving that over. Why? Because of the relationship we share in Christ. And because of that, we get to make things different. We get to have a new title. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a brother. I'm a sister in Christ. And we have a new hope. Paul says at one time, Onesimus was useful to you as a slave. He was not useful when he left, and now he's come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord, and he has a new agenda. He has a kingdom agenda. And not out of compulsion. I could tell you what to say. I could tell you what to do. I could actually coerce you to do this. But he says, I don't want to do that. I want you to choose to do this. And what we don't see in this letter, because you, as you continue and as we'll finish this letter in a couple weeks, you want to know the outcome. We don't get it. We don't get the outcome of what happens and all that goes on after this. But I think in my heart of hearts that Paul would have loved the yes, and he would have loved the no. Because remember, he's not trying to have him do this out of compulsion. He wants him to do this out of his love for Jesus Christ, just like Paul says. Out of genuine love for the kingdom, would you consider accepting him? I know there's a lot of hurt that exists in our churches. There's a lot of hurt that exists in our community, even because of churches, in circles, in educational circles. People write these things and they call it church hurt. It does exist. Maybe you've been through it. I've been through it. And the prospect of granting someone access to your heart may be petrifying. It may scare you. It may scare me. But what are we supposed to do? Sit quietly, idly, and let things go just the way they are for as long as we've been letting them go? I think not. Because there's freedom that comes in granting access to our heart through God's preferences and God's ways. There's freedom that comes from that. How do you think Paul even got to this point to where he could write a letter to a fellow brother in Christ? The chief persecutor of all Christians is now writing other people saying, I'm urging you to choose God's ways. We allow God to mold and shape and change our thoughts and change our spirit, to change our entire being. Say, I'm granting you access. It's okay to have boundaries with that. Scripture is full of things that we consider to be boundaries. It's okay. But see, boundaries are not walls. Boundaries are designed to be fences with gates. And some of us have closed the gate, put a lock on it, and put bricks around the gate so that now there's a fence with a gate that's bricked up. This is not granting one access to your heart. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it's hard. Nobody said it would ever be easy. Even Philemon has a choice to make. Am I going to treat Onesimus as a slave when he returns to me? Am I going to treat him as a brother in Christ? Does he still have punishment coming? Those are questions we don't get any of the answers to, which is what makes this book so much fun. But here's the thing. God doesn't care if we try and fail. God cares if we fail to try. God doesn't care if you try and fail. He cares if I fail to try. And I think that's where some of us are. We just assume not try, then fail. It's safe here. If I can sit in my corner, if I can sit in my chair, and not have to do anything, and not have to open myself up, and not have to try, then I won't fail. But by not trying, we are failing. For the last couple of weeks, I've talked about starting to hear people, starting to affirm people, starting to accommodate people. Today, we choose to accept people. It's okay for people, and for some people, especially repeat offenders in your life that keep hurting you, keep the caution bulb lit. It's okay. Talk to them about expectations. Be clear about intent. But let's start trying with one another, to accept one another, to bring people along in the fellowship of faith. Somebody that's much wiser than I am used the term a sanctification project. Work out your faith through sanctification. And yeah, it might be people along the way that do that, that sharpen, that challenge, that force us to look at God's word and choose the way that God would have us to go. Is there somebody this week that needs accepting for love's sake and for the sake of the kingdom? Let's accept them and see what happens. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us an opportunity this morning to see just another glimpse of the desire of Paul's heart in writing a letter to his brother Philemon that says, I choose to walk with you through this. I choose to accept Onesimus as a brother, and I would have and hope and wish that you would accept him as a brother more than a slave. Father, help us to understand what that fully means as we work out our faith this week. Help us to understand what it looks like to choose your preferences and choose your word, not out of compulsion, but out of our own free will. Because God, you, above all else, could just tell us what to do. But you choose not to in your infinite wisdom. So, Father, thank you for the freedom that comes from choice. Thank you for the freedom of accepting one another and allowing somebody access to our very being. Because we have a kingdom agenda. We have something that far exceeds any kind of personal preference. And that is the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Help us to truly understand and live that out this week. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.